Is it on? All right, thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. You find the place and you're able to stand. We'll look there in verse number 1. All right, 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 1. Now the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God with the saints of God. We pray that now you'd help us exalt and magnify your name. And we pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to grow in grace and love and knowledge of thee. We just want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're doing and for your marvelous grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on lording over God's heritage. Now, when you begin to read there in that chapter there, you'll find out that this is an introduction to leadership. He said, I want to exhort these elders, who am also an elder. Here's a guy that had the ability and capability of being able to exhort somebody that he himself was as well. And let me say to you that it's an instruction for leadership. It's people that are partakers of the glory of God. You know, when you got saved, God saved your soul, and now you're born into the family of God, and you ought to be a mouthpiece for God, and you ought to be able to speak for the Lord with your lip and with your life that God has done something real that's lasting for all eternity. In the lesson that we're looking at, we're talking about the flock of God, first of all. And let me tell you who they are. They are people of faith. You're sitting here this morning. If you're a child of God, then you're part of the flock of God. If you're not a child of God, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ and made that known, then you're not part of the flock. We're glad you're coming. We're glad God's dealing with your heart. We're glad God's opening up your eyes of understanding. But if you're not saved, you're not part of the flock of God. Now, God said the flock of God's not by constraint. In verse number 2. You know what you really think about when you see that? Listen, you ought not to have to force somebody to preach to you. You ought not to try to force somebody to make a move. It's not by constraint. It's not by force. It's not for filthy lucre. In other words, you can't buy your way in. Now, I'll tell you something. I've been guilty of a lot of stuff in days gone by, but one thing I've never been guilty of. I've never been interested in a family because of their money, good or bad, much or little or nothing. Never have. I'm more interested in their obedience under the will of the Lord. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that you can be a blessing to them. They'll be a blessing to a church. Make no mistake about it, whenever God said that we are to do it willingly and not by constraint, not by force, I've had more than one preacher friend that said, "Oh man, pray for us about this family that's there. Boy, you talk about would be beneficial financially to our congregation." And I thought, man, what a sorry excuse to want to be able to get somebody in. See, I've never been more interested in your finances than I am your family. Never have. And as a result of that, every now and again, it's going to cost you some. I've never been one that if a person that had money and influence and all of that that left, I've never been one to say, well, could you at least leave your money? We're not just interested in filthy lucre. It takes a certain amount of that to be able to live and operate and this and that. But that belongs to God. That's in God's business, in God's hands. Feed the flock of God. That's what he said. Now, when you feed the flock of God, here's what you do. That means you're nourished up in the words of faith. You know what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. It's not a bunch of games and gimmicks like the world has turned to. It's not that. But it's the gospel that you and I, The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, you know what that is according to verse number 5? It's the mark of holiness in your life. It's the mark of humility that's in your life. I got to tell you right now, and I don't see anybody here that's so proud and full of themselves that they feel like that they've done God a favor. But when you came to know Christ, you were a humble servant, and you realized and knew that He was God, and besides Him, there's none else. And as a result of that, the mark of holiness was put upon you, and the mark of humility was recognized by the Heavenly Father. I began to think about, you know, the Bible said that God resisted the proud, but He giveth grace to those that are humble. I'm going to tell you something. You show me somebody, and I've seen them in days gone by. You don't deal with people 50-some-odd years of your life and not be able to see some of it. But I've seen people, buddy, that were so proud of themselves and so full of themselves. I like to talk about the little boy that went to, well, I say little boy, he was just a younger man, and he'd went to a Bible conference. And he'd listened to one deadhead after the other. Been there, done that. Didn't like it either then. And as a result of that, they finally called on him to preach. We're talking about pride. And the young man got up, buddy, strutted up there like a banty rooster. And when he got in there behind, he said, well, I've been waiting. He said, because I've got some things that I feel like God wanted me to say, and I'm tired of listening to these dime store sermons and blah and blah and blah. And man, the little old boy, the young man fell flat on his face. He could tell he fell flat on his face. And whenever he got ready to go down, he wasn't strutting to go back down. When he went back down, buddy, he was kind of just dragging and couldn't hardly wait to get to where he was sitting. He'd made such a mess of the sermon and of himself. And an old man leaned up and patted him on the shoulder and said, young man, if you'd have went up there like you came down, you could have come down like you went up. That's true, isn't it? You're never going to be able to rise above humility and grace that God can bestow upon you. You know, there's many a time that I not only pray about the grace of God upon my own life and my own self, but I got to tell you right now, you better remember that you better be sober. And look in verse number 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to resist him in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I got to tell you, is that you'll find out that whenever you look at the word of the Lord, it brings holiness to your life, it brings humility to your life, and God will resist the proud, but He'll give grace to the humble. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out there's no need in trying to fan the flames of your own success. God knows all of that business there. But notice, if you will, please, in verse number 10 of our text, but the God of all grace, I can tell you right now, when you look at that in verse 11, to Him be glory, make no mistake about it, all grace, all glory, all recognition and praise ought to be rendered unto Him. I can tell you right now, that's where we stand. What we do is we stand in the Word of the Lord. We stand by the Word of the Lord, and make no mistake about it. You're going to find out is that as a leader, notice what he said in that chapter there that we started out, that we are not to be Lord over God's heritage. Now, you know what that simply means? That means that I'm a preacher of righteousness. I'm to find out what God said and say something about it. And if you take it, great. But if you don't take it, it's going to be between you and God. Yes, a lot of time people, you know, because they know that I'm worse than a bulldog sometimes, and they go to thinking that I'm going to go beyond that. I'm not a truant officer. I'm not a leader of the Gestapo. I'm not somebody that can force feed your family. My job is to preach what God said about how do you ought to look, how do you ought to act, where you ought to go, what you ought to restrain from. The rest of it belongs in your lap. See? And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that that's the reason why he said not being Lord over God's heritage. You know, I got a family myself. I've got a wife. And make no mistake about it, is that what a great wife she is. If under the dictionary and under great wives, her name with a picture ought to be there. And somebody's saying, who in the world is that? It's a great wife. That's who it is. It's a great Christian. That's who it is. She's a better Christian than I am. And let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it. She's a lot more humble than I am. Now, I'm not going to let her get up here and preach or anything like that. But I can promise you right now, she preaches to me a little every now and again. And you know what she preaches? Same thing I was preaching. And said, didn't you say the other day? Oh, I know all you men, you know, you're like a bandy rooster walking around. Like you're the cock of the walk, you know. It's not wrong for her to remind you of what you've already said. So she was listening. You know, in this lesson here that we're looking at, let me say unto him, when he says unto him be glory, we're talking about the God of all grace. There's not one of us can toot our horn before God. We better humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something, if you will, that in verse number 12 of this text that we're reading here is that you'll find out he talks about Silvanus, a faithful brother. Now, that's a good testimony, isn't it? I mean, here's a fellow that's got a faithful brother by Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I suppose, and I have written briefly exhorting and testifying, this is the true grace of God. That means there are some people that are involved in something that is not true grace. The true grace of God wherein you stand. Now, I want to say to you that here are the facts that are listed in the Bible concerning that. And let me tell you, verse number 12 says it and hits the nail on the head. You want the true grace of God, you better humble yourself under the sight of the Lord and let him do that which will be lasting for all eternity in your heart, and your life, and your kids. You know, I pray for my kids. I pray for your kids. And I pray the Lord you let the true grace of God saturate their heart and their mind. Let them come to the place to recognize and know that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. Let me tell you right now, let me say it again. We're to be leaders of one of another in the house of God. We're not to be lorders, but leaders by the word of the Lord. I want to tell you something. Did not Paul the Apostle make the statement and say, follow me as I follow Christ? We're not talking about following just without any question, following without any section. No, follow me, he says, as I follow Christ. Now, the person's going to have to be number one. They're going to have to be willing. If you're here this morning, you know, if you're not saved, and I always say that, I don't know who's saved, who's not, but if you're not saved, it's because you're not willing for Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Now, he's going to be. Whether you like it or not, he's going to be Lord. He's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And let me tell you, what he's got planned is going to be fulfilled one of these days. Listen, he's either going to save you, and that's what he'd rather do. He's either going to save your soul, or he's going to cast you into hell, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Now, in this lesson here, somebody said one time, what must I do in order to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that Jesus died on the cross, bowed his head, said it's finished, gave up the ghost, resurrected again the third day according to the scripture, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how you get saved. Somebody said, what must I do to be lost? Nothing. You're born lost. Born without hope, born without God. Jesus Christ made it possible for you to be able to do what you could not do for yourself, and that is get washed by the blood, born into the family of God. And I got to tell you, whenever I look around you here, God does not love me any more than he loves you, and vice versa. See that? God's not going to be standing there one of these days answering a bunch of foolish questions. Listen, Jesus Christ paid the sin debt upon the cross that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I can tell you when you begin to look into this is that a preacher of righteousness is not to be an enforcer of the word, but a preacher of the word and a practicer of the word. You see what I'm talking about? Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to have to be willing. You know, I never got saved. You never got saved till I was willing to come as an empty-handed beggar. And let me tell you, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Whatever it is you are trying to get busy, trying to work around, or I don't know, you're trying to whitewash instead of getting it washed white. Whatever it is you're doing and whatever it is you got going on, God already knows all about it. He already does. And I want to tell you something. If you want Him to get it fixed, you're going to have to be willing to come to Him as an empty-handed beggar. I was thinking about when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, is that we're not truant officers. Somebody asks every now and again, you know, what about so-and-so? And they didn't show up for church. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm not a truant officer. I'm a preacher. Somebody said, well, you know, what in the world about this person or that person and some things I don't like? I'll bet you that we could take a survey and there's some things about every one of us that we may not like. See? But I'm not going to do anything much about it, you know. You know why? It's because I'm not in the Gestapo. I'm not a Nazi. When I wave, I don't wave like they did to Hitler and throw my hand out and all that business there. Like, you know. I want to say to you that, if you will, it's good to be able to know the Lord by the true grace of God and to be washed from my sins in His own blood and to be born into the family of God. I'll tell you what, I'm not a truant officer. I'm a preacher. I'm not in the Gestapo. I'm a preacher. I'll tell you something else, is that I'm not into mind control. You know what mind control is? That's trying to sell somebody a state of depression that really and truly doesn't belong to them. It's just you keep on saying it long enough and repeating it long enough and saying it long enough. You know, that's what a lot of that mind control stuff goes on, like at these big camp meetings where they've got several preachers. They're busy keeping you there, bombarding you with the next sermon, bombarding with the next sermon, and they got you to where finally your resistance is gone, to where that if there's somebody moves down the aisle, they've got a bunch of them moving. I've told you about some of them meetings I used to go to. I'll tell you how programmed they are. I'm not against shouting, but every shouter that I ever knew had more faults than you could count on both hands. They just didn't seem like they were real. I said all that to be able to say this. I was sitting there one night. Old Brother Dub Hendricks, I was sitting there pretty close to him. Brother Marty Few, he was sitting there. I don't know how many other guys. Some of them, I can remember their face, but I can't remember their name. That's probably a sign of old age. But I told them, I said, hey, boys. I said, you believed all that shouting there they just got through doing was real? And they said, well, yeah, you didn't think, well, I said, nice program, watch this. I'm fixing to make them all shout again. Hallelujah! And I throwed my hands up and jumped up, and man, it just was like a chain reaction all the way across that auditorium. And there's probably 500-600 people there. And they said, oh man, said that. I was feeling pretty good until now about that. I said, well, I'm sorry. I just was letting you know that, hey, not all that glitters is just gold around here. See? I got to tell you what you're going to end up doing is you can follow that kind of lifestyle if you want to and knock yourself out. But somewhere down the road, God will open up your eyes and your understanding to let you see that the true grace of God does not operate like that. I'll tell you what it will do. It'll cause you to be humble before the Lord. It'll cause you to not only to be humble before the Lord, but whenever it's all said and done, there'll be the mark of holiness upon your life. And whenever it is, make no mistake about it, you'll find out that it won't be mind control. It'll be the grace of God and the freedom and the liberty that God's given you to be able to serve Him. I don't know about you, but I try to thank God for you on a regular basis. I'm glad I got people I can worship with. I thank God for my wife on a regular basis. I thank God for your children and you men and you women. And we thank God for the fact that God's grace has been bestowed upon you. I wonder this morning, maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I put this off long enough. I'm ready to trust the Lord with all of my heart." Well, I hope that'll happen. If you're not saved, I hope that'll happen to you, and I hope it's soon. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. I just want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. I pray your blessings now upon these that have gathered. I pray that now that you'd right every wrong. Help us, I pray, to exalt and magnify your name together. We'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name.